السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome once again to Radio Islam on Majumi 1548. Time right now is for the Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. Inshallah, we'll have Mufti Zab online in a few seconds time. Just to remind our listeners out there that our lines are open. You can phone in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27 11 854 1548. Our mobile number for tonight, as usual, 082-356-5988. That's 082-356-5988. Our engineers await your calls. Alternatively, you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. Okay, we have a lot of questions already flowing in. Let's take our first question, and we have Mufti Zab online right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Zab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Okay, inshallah, we'll be starting in a few seconds time. We have our first question, Mufti Zab. Going on with the first question, it says, if you're making wudu in a bathroom where there is a toilet, can you read the wudu du'as during wudu?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In that case, you should be reading your du'as silently, meaning that in your heart you should be reading the du'as. You should not be verbally pronouncing those du'as.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that. Let's go on to the next question. It says, is it permissible to eat from non-Muslims' home?
If you are certain that the food is absolutely halal, then it is permissible to do so. If there is any doubt that this is part of an offering, then it is absolutely not permissible to consume that food. Yes.
Okay, let's go on to the next question we have here. It says, a certain person passed away. And after Isha's Salah, a person announced that there'll be a Quran Khatam for the deceased after the Salah in the masjid. Is this permissible?
Once you have organized Quran Khatam in that manner, as explained, it is an innovation. To read Quran is permissible. To read Quran, you get a lot of reward. To read Quran, there is tremendous sawab. To read Quran, there is the blessings of Allah Ta'ala descending. However, because it is not stipulated to call people and gather people, once you invite, call people to any action that has not been substantiatedly done in the time of Sahaba Ikram, then that action becomes an innovation. So you should not call people for such actions which the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in did not do. No sooner you call the public to an action not substantiated in the Shariat, then it is clear innovation. You should not be calling for these activities which are not substantiated in the Shariat, as in this case, the calling for the recitation of Qur'an-i Kareem. Individually, you can read Qur'an-i Kareem and make the Isale Sawab for that deceased. Then you can encourage others to individually recite Qur'an and pass the Sawab for the deceased. That is permissible. But to organize, to call, to invite, and to make things necessary which are not necessary, to make things compulsory which are not compulsory, by calling, by inviting, then that tantamounts to innovation.
Okay, let's go on to the next question now. We have a question here that says, are we allowed to use interest money to pay UIF for the maid?
If it is a form of taxation, then we are of the opinion that all forms of taxation you can pay with interest money. Gee.
Going on to the next question of sub-behavior in front of us, it says, okay, are we allowed to pay a bonus as well with this? On the same question,
you can pay bonus with interest money, but you should make it clear that there are no motivations, ulterior motivations attached to this. Generally, people give bonuses or they give handouts expecting something in return. Even from the laborers, they give them bonuses and they expect some extra services from them. And if you are going to give the bonus, on one side, yes, it is permissible to give interest money to the poor, needy, deserving person and who is in dire financial constraints. But you cannot, at the same token, extract extra services from that person, or you cannot impose any other activities upon that person or expect that person to over-respect you or now do something out of his normal portfolio of service. Ji.
Okay, going on to the next question. It says, please explain the purpose of the Dajjal that will come in this world.
Dajjal is, first of all, they are, according to the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will be 30 impostures, and these are classified like small Dajjals. Impostures, they will claim Nabuwat. And the Dajjal, he is a person described at length in the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which have reached the state of mutawatir. And he will come as a trial and a test for the Muslims. He will come during the time of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he will be killed by Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who will descend in the time of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will pursue Dajjal. His purpose, Dajjal's purpose, will be to cause havoc and to mislead, to test the Muslim. In fact, he'll come to divide the Muslim from the non-Muslim, Muslim from the hypocrite, and he'll be an extreme test for the people of Iman. Ji.
Okay, let's go to the next question. It says, I just wanted to know, is it true that one should read Surah Al-Dahr to find a good partner?
If certain alim has stated so, and if they have given some reference, it is good. However, we have not come across that. We are trying to check it also. We cannot find any proper valid reference. If someone can do so, alhamdulillah.
Well, Philip, earlier on we had a question, a brother asked a question that if a landlord asks a person for a deposit of 5,000 rands, a person wants to stay in a person's property, and the landlord asks him for a deposit of 5,000 rands, does this person who is renting or is going to rent, does he have to pay the zakat on this 5,000 rands?
No, he will not pay zakat on that 5,000 rand. Although he is the owner of it, he does not have possession of it, he does not have control of it, and he does not have haqq tasarruf over it, he does not have right of distribution. It is like money jammed up. It is like, as if to say, the provident fund or pension fund, which is not released as yet. Jeez.
Okay, let's take the next question. We have two questions here on one SMS. Just to remind our listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. You can SMS on our mobile number 0823565988. That's 0823565988. Just waiting for a few questions to come through as well. Okay, going to the next question. We have two questions on one SMS that say, if one makes intention to khatam the Quran, to complete the Quran for Ramadan, can one start before Ramadan?
To read Quran is meritorious. There is a lot of reward. So, you will get reward for recitation of Qur'an al-Kareem in Ramadan. To do a nafil action in Ramadan equates to the farz sawab. So, you will be tremendously rewarded for your Qur'an recitation in Ramadan. If you are going to start before Ramadan, inshallah you will be rewarded for your recitation. Every time you read Qur'an, you will be rewarded. And it is sunnat, meaning that an extremely highly recommended action to read complete the Quran Kareem in Ramadan. If due to incapacitation you started before that and completed in Ramadan, then inshallah you will be adequately rewarded. It is not farz that you start in Ramadan and finish in Ramadan your individual khatam of Quran. It is highly recommended to do so.
Okay, let's take the next call. I think we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I needed to ask Mufti Sahab, a person employed by an insurance company, is it viable to partake any meal from that person?
Okay. Is that all you have?
Yes. I'll listen only.
Okay. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, Mufti Sahab, person employed by an insurance company, can we partake meals by his home?
First of all, that because temporary insurance is permissible, life insurance obviously is haram, and that person who is selling this insurance is involved in an activity that is definitely makruh. So to eat at that person's house will also be makruh, but it will be permissible. If that person has got any other form of income, then it will be permissible to eat in that person's house, and there will be no detestment in that.
Let's go on to the next question. Okay, we have a question. It says, a sister is in hijab. She wants to know if it's permissible to pierce her navel for the pleasure of her husband.
All these activities are not the culture and civilization of good Muslims. And in fact, in our age, this has become the norm of the evildoers. And this has become the pattern of the transgressors in Islam. And this has become the way of life of the enemies of Islam. And this has been classified as those who are misled and misleading. And this has been classified as an activity which is restricted, in fact, to those who are involved with usage of drugs and, unfortunately, other unsavory activities. So a Muslim should not be doing those actions which are done by the enemies of Islam. A Muslim should not be doing those actions which are done by evildoers, transgressors. So definitely one should abstain from piercing the navel.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. I think we've got another call online. Okay, no callers. Let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Mufti, please give me advice on how the girls... how the girls and boys or the youth carry on at places in with the loud music, girls dressing openly and blocking traffic and all sorts of stuff. What advice can we give them, or what can we do about this?
First of all, those who are involved in that activity, it is their sin, but more sin on the parents who are providing them the facilities of sinning, who are giving them the amenities to sin, who are giving them adequate money to purchase those vehicles, and who are allowing them time to go out late and to go out, and they fully know where they are going. This is the bereft age of immodesty currently. Unfortunately, even now in the coming month of Ramadan, that is around the corner, we will be getting complaints upon complaints of youth participating in all these activities driving recklessly, listening to music, hanging around corners which are not conducive to any good Muslim being present there, and doing all sorts of funny things, even in the blessed month of Ramadan. So first of all, that the parents of those youth should be contacted and informed that, do you know where your children are? And should they should be admonished. The parents should be admonished severely and strongly and firmly in the light of Quran and Ahadith, that what they are doing and they are allowing their children to perpetrate evil by listening to music and by being out late, wasting their time, energy, money, and also indulging in absolute haram activities of intermingling of sexes, of listening to music, participating in the lowest of acts which are classified as totally immoral and immodest, and one sin leads to another until the ultimate is done. So the parents, first of all, should be addressed. Those youth, if you can talk to them on individual basis, then it is good to do so.
Okay, let's take the next caller. I think we have another caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
If I owe somebody money and I have the money available, do I pay the zakat on that money or the lender? Or do I also pay zakat on that money? Or both parties liable? If I, for instance, that person doesn't need the money immediately,
yeah,
what happens in that instance? I'll listen to the air.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take Mufsar to your answer.
First of all, that a person loaned, one person loaned another money. Now this person who phoned, for example, he says he's got the money and he can pay it. And he's not paying it because the person who loaned him the money does not require it. Now, he must tell that person who loaned him the money that he can pay the money if he zakat if he wants to. The proper ruling will be that the person who loaned the money, when he gets it in his possession, his control, and when he is able to distribute it to whomsoever he wants to, then he is liable to pay the zakat. The person, for example, the caller who called, he's got the money, upon him, no zakat is wajib upon the money that he has got as a loan. Because if you have to do his books, that has gone as a liability. But the person who has given the loan, that would be classified as a strong loan. He, if he wants to give the zakat, may do so. If he wants to wait for the money to come into his possession, then he can, as and when it comes to him, as and when it comes to his possession, then he can pay the zakat pro rata to the money that he is receiving. For example, if he has loaned out 100,000, and now when he gets 10,000, then he will give 2.5% of 10,000 out in zakat. Or he can wait until all comes out. Imam Muhammad and Imam Yusuf, rahmatullah alayhim, they say it is better that you give in pro rata, proportion-wise, as you get your money in installments, you give your zakat out in installments.
Okay, let's take the next question we have. Okay, let's take the next question. Mufti, we know that today it's a very, very serious problem that we have cell phones in the masjid and music in the masjid. And sometimes it really aggravates a person when the people come to the masjid leaving the cell phones on. And, you know, the music, firstly, we know that music is haram and people are bringing music into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti, the mutawallis leave the cell phones on during salah. Or the musallis in the masjid leave their cell phones on during salah, and which makes funny sounds in music. We know that this is not allowed. What advice can we give them? What can we do?
I am of the very strong opinion that they should put a notice out that your cell phone rings in the masjid, consider it gone to the masjid property. You'll see no one will put the cell phone on. That the imam should confiscate these cell phones that are going out in the going off in the masjid. And every time that the imam has to keep now adding before starting his salat, please put your cell phone off. How sad and disgusting it is. So it is definitely a sin to have, first of all, these musical tones and to have Quran ayats as ringtones on your cell phone. So definitely that we should not be using those tones at all. That's one. Secondly, to willfully have your cell phone on in the masjid, then you are causing sin and waiting for sin to be caused. And if your cell phone goes off, many are telling us that they have film songs and film tunes now coming on ringtones. So and they hear this whilst in salat. Now that Taraweeh is coming, and if you are under some emergency, then put it on silent mode. So if someone is trying to contact you, they can contact you, and you'll be able to pick up that there's someone trying to contact you. If you are, for example, a person doing social work, community work, like a doctor, surgeon, or you're on paramedics, emergency, now you have to be contacted. So you put your cell on the silent mode so that you can be contacted. It is not haram to take the cell phone in the masjid. But definitely, you are a sinner if you are going to willfully allow it to be on. Unconsciously, if it goes off whilst you are in the masjid, then you will be a sinner if your ringing tone is of musical in nature. You'll be sinning first because of the ringing tone, secondly because you would cause disturbance in the masjid, thirdly you are the cause of letting others listen to music. So there are many things, and you are also causing harm and injuring the malaika that are present in the masjid. So there are so many faults of you having the cell phones having a ringing tone of music in nature. You should abstain totally from that.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. Sir, we know earlier on you gave the person asked a question on the Quran khatam in the masjid. If you do remember.
Yes.
We have a question here that says, Mufsa, please give us authentic authority for your answer on the Quran khatam. And the second question, it says that isn't adhan not a form of invitation to salah as well?
The person, unfortunately, hasn't got the faintest idea of principles of deen and the science of derivation who's posing this second question. And by using azan as an analogy, that person definitely does not understand the basic fundamentals of deriving laws. I just mentioned in that answer that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala alhum ajma'in did not do it. Now what else proof he requires for that? Also, azan was instituted in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And azan is a calling for salah. And let alone that those, it was one stage in history that besides azan also, they were telling people to get up and by saying as-salah, as-salah before the ikama. And ulama ikram ruled that is wrong also. Azan is the only calling, official calling for salah. And after that to say as-salah, as-salah, salat is ready, that also is wrong. So salat is proven in Shariat. Salat is from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salat Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala wa ajma'in did. Khatam of Quran in congregation in the masjid Well, did Sahaba Ikram do that? They did not do that, and if they did not do it, why must we do it? Because if it was something that is going to earn reward and sawab and gain proximity and nearness to Allah, then surely they should have done it. So 124,000 Sahaba passed by, they did not do it. This Quran khatam in the masajid. However, there are two books written on this. One is by Mufti Abdul Rauf, who is the Imam of the Masjid in Darul Quraghi. It has been translated into English. And there is another book written by some alim from Gujarat. That is a very good kitab on this topic. We have not translated it as yet. And inshallah, one day we will translate it. It has got all the references there. However, the basic rule is, it was not done during the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was not done during the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. It was not done during the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. It was not done during the time of the Imams of jurisprudence. It was not done during the best of eras. It was not done during the time of the Muhaddiseen. So why must we do it now?
Let's go on to the next question. Just to remind our listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Mobile number 0823565988. Email address onair@radioislam.co.za. Okay, let's go on. We have a question here that says, Assalamu alaikum. I would like to know, does dua change your taqdeer? For example, I'd like to marry a person and make dua.
First of all, there is a hadith which means that dua changes taqdeer. Now, the ulama ikram make a lot of discussion that taqdeer in this hadith refers to what? And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has written on this, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi has written, and Shah Waliwala Delvi rahmatullahi alayhi has written lengthy discussion on this in Hujjatullah al-Baligha. And Allama Sayyid Palampuri, Damat Barakatuhum, current Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Dioban, has written in Rahmatullah al-Wasiyah, and this discussion can be found in, under the section of Laylatul Qadr, where the Allama discusses various levels of taqdeer and the alam e misal, the realm of the similitude, which is like an enactment, pre-enactment of what is going to transpire on this earth. It's something very difficult to understand. However, that pre-enactment portion of taqdeer can be changed, not that taqdeer which has been finalized. So one taqdeer level can be changed, not the final taqdeer, which is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even that which is happening in the alam e misal, in the realm of the similitudes. So that taqdeer can be altered or changed, which is prevalent in the alam e misal, in the realm of the similitudes, but not that taqdeer cannot be changed which has been finalized and which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard when he went on the night of Mi'raj.
Okay, just to tell our listeners, inform our listeners out there, that if anybody has or does not agree with Mufti Ilyas in any way, please do not SMS our mobile number. You can contact Mufti Sahab direct on his email address. Mufti Sahab will say it in the course of the program. Please do not SMS our mobile number with any vulgar language, because your question will not be entertained whatsoever. Taking the next question, it says, Assalamu alaikum, can you read Nafil Salah and Salat al-Shukr at the same time?
As far as Nafil Salat is concerned, that you can combine it. You can combine your intentions. You combine, for example, Ya Allah, making Shukr Salat, Tawbah Salat, Salatul Hajat. So Nafil Salat obstinate salat, you can combine. But no sooner you go from nafil to sunnah, you cannot combine. So you can make an intention, Ya Allah, I am making 2 rakats of shukr namaz, and in that same 2 rakats, added intention of tawbah and hajat, etc. That is absolutely permissible to do so.
Mustafa, if you just give us your email address, or say your email address on air once, please.
Very simple, it is Mufti'e, Mufti'e, at mweb.co.za.
Okay, we have a caller from KwaZulu Natal. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. How are you, Malala?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother?
Very well. Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Saab. I have 2 questions with regard to Salah in our masjid in our locality. The first question is, prior to the Iqamah, on one occasion, the Imam of the masjid, when the Muazzin was absent, he had to pronounce the Iqamah, and before the Iqamah, he read the Durud Sharif loudly. And then he read the Iqamah. I would like to know about the permissibility of such actions, because it seems that there's something new that has come about. That's the first question. The second question is, also in our locality, at this one of the 2 masajids here, when should the musalli stand up for prayer or go towards prayer? Because when the Iqamah is pronounced, a percentage of the musallis wait till the point of Hayya ala Salah, and then they get up and then proceed towards the front end of the masjid. So I'd like Mufti Saab to clarify that and its permissibility.
JazakAllah,
okay. Listen to the answer.
JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Saab, let's see the first question, durood before the Iqamah.
First of all, that it is permissible for the Imam to read the Iqamah and then perform the imamat. It is absolutely permissible that, and you see this a lot happening in the Arab countries, that the imam, he will also give the azan, and also give the ikama. And then after he gives the ikama, he steps forward and he is the imam. That's absolutely permissible to do that. However, to read the Durood Sharif allowed prior to the Iqamah is not substantiated. It is not proven. And again, our system to define a innovation is very simple, that action was not prevalent during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor in the blessed era of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, nor in the time of the Tabi'ins, who had the quality of ihsan. So it's a very simple thing. They did not make that action as part and parcel of deen, and they did not do that action to get any nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is an innovation. Like one person, he sneezed, and he said he said Alhamdulillah wassalamun ala Mustafa. So Sahabi right near him told him that, what did you say? He said, I read durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, durood recitation is good, but this is not the time for it, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon sneezing said Alhamdulillah, and sneezing second time he said Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And upon sneezing the third time, Sharia teaches us to say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. No recitation of durood after Alhamdulillah when you are sneezed. So durood recitation, there is tremendous benefit in it. But there is a place for everything, and there is a time for everything. And when Sharia has specified a time for it, we will do it then. And when Sharia has specified a method for it, we will adhere to it. And when Sharia has put certain limitations on an activity, although it is earning a reward, then we will adhere to it. Salat is permissible. One person stood up to make two rakats of Nafil Salat before Eid in the Eidgah, Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajhu stopped that person and told him, don't do that. That person said, why? This is a good action. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him, yes, I also know it's a good action. And he told, Hazrat Ali told him that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do this. And I fear your action is vain. Your action is vain and futile. I fear that you will not get reward, but you will be earning punishment, deserving of punishment. So see, salat is good, but there has to be time of it. So when Shariat has provided us limitations and restrictions on any actions, we will have to adhere to the restrictions and limitations given to us by Shariat. Otherwise, we will be involved with innovation and bidah, and we will be steeped in innovation. That is what the first question. Secondly, that we have written a book, it's on our website, alislam.co.za. It's called Azan. And in the latter part of that book, we have discussed this masala, this law about when to get up for Salat. And we have given all the references relevant to that topic. Now, remember that the purpose of Iqama, first of all, is to inform the people around that Salat is about to commence. That's one. Secondly, that one other masala most of the people do not understand, that Iqama is supposed to be said softly, not shouting, not very, very loudly. Thirdly, that when the Imam is the engine, the Imam is the one who is going to lead the Salat. Once he starts moving to the musalla, then that is the time when any person who is in the masjid can proceed to stand up and join the safs. Remember that otherwise, when the imam is not present, he hasn't moved to the musalla, and the muazzin has now started calling out the ikama. Once he gets into position and starts calling the Iqama, you can stand and start making the safs. Now, let us say, this logically, if you have to wait for Hayy ala Salah and then start standing up and making the safs, then you are putting people into difficulty. Why? Because once the Iqama is finished, then the Imam must start the Salat. When the Iqama has started with Allahu Akbar or the presence or procedure of the Imam, then you can be more organized. There is more time to be more organized in your safs and rows so that the Imam can start the Salat quickly. Now if you were to start from Hayy ala Salah, then you are restricting the Imam, you are putting the Imam in pressure that he will have to now wait for everybody to get into the safs properly, then start. So the ruling will be, once you see the Imam proceeding to the musalla, you can stand and form the safs, or wait. As soon as the Iqama starts, you start forming your safs. You do not have to wait for Hayy ala Salah.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. So we have a question here. We have a question that says that, is it the wife's haq that she, whatever she asks her, the husband must agree to?
No, it is not as a blanket rule. The wife has to be reasonable in her requisites or her demands. First of all, the wife will have to worry about the financial position of the husband. And this applies to our times. Many times, the wife, family members, children, etc., they put pressure on the breadwinners. and so much of pressure that the person lands in debt. And once a person goes into an interest-bearing debt, unfortunately, that person will never be able to recover and will be putting his foot into a quicksand. And that, unfortunately, many are involved in, because they cede to the demands and of the wife and family members, they involve themselves into unnecessary debts. For example, then they have huge weddings, then they have huge functions, then they have unnecessary celebrations, then they have unnecessary un-Islamic celebrations, then they have unnecessary un-Islamic family gatherings, birthday parties, etc. And they spend their money on luxury comfort when they cannot afford it. So that's one point. Secondly, that the wife cannot demand from the husband un-Islamic things, activities, and she cannot demand from her husband those things that will result in sin. For example, the wife cannot say to the husband, take me to the cinema. The wife cannot tell the husband, you have to buy me this music CD. The wife cannot tell the husband that take me to that function, and that function is un-Islamic in nature. So she cannot, all her demands, first of all, we have to see whether they are Islamic or not. Secondly, whether they are affordable or not. However, this does not mean that the husband must not give the wife her right, her due. If he can afford it, he must do so. And within his means, he must try to fulfill the permissible requisites of his wife. Many people, unfortunately, they are prepared to give huge charities, etc., but the wife's right, they stample and they trample upon, and they do not fulfill the basic wife rights. However, the wife must also know the temperament of the husband and when to ask the husband. Perhaps the question came about, the background could be that the wife asked the husband for some permissible thing, but at the wrong time. So that husband has said no. Like, for example, it is not necessary to buy new clothing for Eid. Ramadan is coming. Before we know what happened, Ramadan will be over. Eid will be there. The moon for Ramadan will be sighted. And sooner, within a short period, time is going very fast, we will be preparing for Eid. It is not necessary, when you read the sunnahs of Eid, going for Eid and Eid Salah, it is not necessary to buy new clothing for Eid. Now the wife cannot tell the husband that you have to buy us new clothing. You will have to buy us, all my children, new clothing. Especially and when they are in financial difficulty and they cannot afford it. The Shariat is universal and the Shariat is simple. That also we should worry about. The Shariat is universal and the Shariat is simple. And it is very cheap to act upon the Shariat. That is why the Shariat is for the rich and the poor and for everybody. Now, when a person cannot afford the new clothing, what he will do? Because the wife demanded, he will go into debt. And he will go use the plastic card, which I constantly request the listeners to abstain from. Why? It involves interest after that. So what he does goes into an interest transaction because of the un-Islamic demand of the wife. And then lands himself with war against Allah Ta'ala and gets the wrath of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the wife, her rights must be fulfilled, and those guidelines which I've stated should be adhered to.
Mufti, just on a lighter note, a joke on husband and wife. You know, it says that at a wedding once, the MC, at a wedding function, the MC made an announcement to all those husbands that asked all those husbands, whoever listens to their wives, or whose wives tell them to do everything, and they do it, they must move to one side of the hall. Everybody moved to one side of the hall. It was except one person that never moved to the one side of the hall. So when he was asked, why didn't you move? So he says, you know what? Because my wife told me I mustn't do what everybody else does. So, so just on a lighter note. Okay, taking the next question. It says, we have a question. It says, a brother has a wife, four daughters and one son. How does he distribute his estate?
Four daughters and one son.
Four daughters, one son.
Why, he wants to die. So, first of all, it'll go, obviously, one-sixth, and then the remaining shares will go two portions to the son and one portion to the daughters.
Okay, going on to the next question. A boy and girl like each other. The boy's father made istikhara and it was not good. What is Mufti Sahib's view, especially about istikhara? Now, we know this question comes every week, Mufti Sahib, on istikhara. Looks like may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give one all, inshallah, good partner in their lives.
Inshallah. Now, first of all, that boy and girl, they like each other. And I hope that this was legal, meaning that the contract was made legally and the proposal was made legally. Now, and because the father is making istikhara, the father obviously cannot be making istikhara on an illegal union or a union that has been forced upon him. He should, first of all, before making istikhara, he should be making mashwara about the boy's party, the girl's party. And if the boy's father is making the istikhara, then he should be making a lot of research about the girl and about his own son also. And he should be consulting family members to help him to make the decision, to aid him in getting the right decision. Then failing which, he should make istikhara. So our suggestion is that make mashwara, meaning consult with your immediate family members, your friends, the ulama, influential people. And about this, previously we translated one book called Gift to the bride. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed now by the same author, Mufti Hanif Abdul Majid. He wrote another book in Urdu, and we have completed that. It's called Gift to the Groom. So by end of this year, that book should be out. And in it, he goes at length to discuss this better, that when the proposal comes, before istikhara, make mashwara, consult, and failing which, then make istikhara. These days, we make istikhara, and istikhara is good, but I think we make it a bit too early or too quickly. So make mashwara first, then istikhara. Ji.
Taking the next, okay, we have a call online. Let's take the first call. Let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahib, a boy and a girl are razi with each other as far as nikah is concerned. They are first cousins. The family on both sides is happy. But the thing is this, that the mother says that she doubts that she could have breastfed the boy. And she has been making a sihara and it's all blank. So what do they do?
Okay, you can hear your answer on A, inshallah. JazakAllah for that. Any other callers? Okay, let's take the question. What's up?
On doubt is no ruling. On doubt is no ruling. And because the rule is doubt is not eradicated by, certainty is not eradicated by doubt. That's a jurisprudic rule, translation of the jurisprudic ruling. So in this case here, that when they, boy and girl, they are happy, they are cousins, and everybody around them is happy with that, then the mother should not hold her doubt as the decision-making factor. She should let it go, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant barakat, inshallah.
Okay, JazakAllah. Let's take the next question. Can a person give zakat money for sadaqatul jariyah?
See, first of all, zakat is an obligation. The person will receive tremendous reward for giving zakat. One point. Secondly, it is not necessary only to give zakat in Ramadan. Zakat should be given all the time. So that in Ramadan, the Lord who give it out in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala reward them tremendously. Because the reward for doing an obligatory action in Ramadan increases 70-fold. But however, to give zakat regularly on a regular basis is very good, very healthy. Especially for those businesses which have to give a lot of zakat. If you have to sometimes calculate zakat, and now comes Ramadan and you have to give 200,000 out in zakat, you get a mild heart attack. But if that was given and spread out in the whole year, then alhamdulillah, that's good. And the need of the people is not only in Ramadan. The poor do not only exist in Ramadan, they exist throughout the year. So the distribution, in my opinion, it should be done throughout the year. The needy, the wayfarer, the destitute, the widow are prevalent and present throughout the entire year. So to give zakat only in Ramadan, what was the question, Mother? Mother, what was the actual question there?
Which one, sir?
The last one?
Can a person give sadaqatul jariyah, I think it was.
Oh, see, zakat is obligatory. Sadaqatul jariyah is a different issue. There, you'll have to utilize lillah funds. Lillah funds will earn sadaqatul jariyah. There are two different jurisprudential orders. Zakat is obligatory. You will get your sawab. But these sadaqatul jariyah, that is lillah funded. So you will get your sawab for sadaqatul jariyah by giving your lillah funds there. And there are two different monies utilized there. Yes, you help someone with zakat money. And for example, you stabilize someone's business. Or you purchase someone a sewing machine or a machine. And that person now is, alhamdulillah, earning halal rozi. Then indirectly you will be earning sadaqatul jariyah. You'll be earning sawab, but you'll be earning sawab via your obligatory duty. And sadaqatul jariyah, that is when you will be, alhamdulillah, utilizing lillah funds to get sadaqatul jariyah.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. It says, is it compulsory for women to make taraweeh salah?
Taraweeh salat is sunnat-e-mu'akkadah for both men and women. That means women should perform salatul taraweeh at home. And nowadays there is a fashion. And this fashion, unfortunately, is creeping and increasing. And people and ladies regard their freedom in this. That they were to go and make Salat Taraweeh in Masajid. And so-called the Ulama Haqqani Rabbani, they also allowing now the ladies to come and perform Salat Taraweeh in Jamaat, in the Masjid. In the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were 9 other Masjid in Medina. And the woman, in the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the presence of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whilst Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive, they never go to those 9 masjid to perform salat. Speciality of the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they went to masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make salat there. And towards the latter part, they even themselves abstained from that action. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha clearly stated that if Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive, then he should have prevented them from coming to the masjid if he saw their condition. That was the best of times. Now these days, the women want to run off and perform Salat Taraweeh in the masjid. When they were prevented and they were asked not to come for Salat, which is Faraz, then Sunnat al-Mu'akkidah, why they must go and make Salat and Sunnat al-Mu'akkidah, Taraweeh Salat in Jamaat in the masjid? What age we are living in, that in some masjids they encourage this. However, Salat Taraweeh, Sunnat al-Mu'akkidah, 20 rakat, men should perform it in the masjid, females at home.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take the... We have another call online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think we lost that call. Let's take the next question. It says, my father, before passing away, leaves his inheritance to his wife. What is the right thing for her to do now?
First of all, we should acknowledge that Islam has got a unique inheritance system which draws the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Secondly, that the situation that the husband has left everything to the wife is completely un-Islamic. The wife should know that. Once she realizes that Allah has given us a perfect deen and the inherited system is specified, and secondly, she should realize that what her husband has done is un-Islamic, she should pool the assets, call in an alim, and then state to the alim who has left behind, who is left behind to inherit. They will draw up who deserves what according to the Shariat. That is the best course of action.
Okay, JazakAllah. Let's take the... I think we have another question here. Do we have the caller back? Okay, no. Let's take the next question. It says, what if the girl and boy really like each other and want to get married, but every time istikhara is not right? What should you do then? And it says at the end, they want to get married and they really love each other.
First of all, now how they got together, now they have already reached the stage that they so-called love each other. Obviously, they'll be talking to each other and communicating with each other, writing to each other, phoning each other, and emailing each other. All these haram activities going on now. How the mercy of Allah Ta'ala will come? So, when the istikhara is saying no, and you have went that route by going for istikhara, immediately terminate the relationship, forthwith sever the relationship, break off all contacts, and make dua Allah Ta'ala opens your road in a legal, permissible manner to get a suitable wife and a spouse. Yeah.
Yeah, let's take the last call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Chiapa, you can, you on air?
Ji. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Jesus, to your question.
I would ask Maulana, I'm a widow now, yeah, I'm living in the old age home. I would like to know if I can accept zakat from the people, because I've got a little home here in the old age home, and I would know if can I accept the groceries that they give out and the zakat that some people come and give out. Can I accept it? Am I entitled for it?
Okay, fine.
Jewelry.
I listen on
jewelry.
Jewelry. Accept jewelry.
Have you got jewelry?
Oh, do you have jewelry, sister?
No, I've got nothing, no jewelry at all.
No money?
No, I've got about 5,000 in the bank that I save for Hajj.
You got 5,000?
Gee, in the bank. I'm serving with my daughter. And inshallah, one day I want to go for Hajj.
Okay, I'll answer there.
JazakAllah, sister. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu.
First of all, that if she had jewelry, which is equivalent to the nisab, then she will not be entitled to receive zakat. However, now she says she's got 5,000 rand. Because she has got more than the nisab, she cannot accept zakat. Now she saying she's saving for Hajj. So what she should do, that she should take that 5,000 rand and give it to her sister or her children. Give it to them and tell them that they must keep it for her, not keep it for her, they can take it. If they, she does that, then she can receive zakat. Or she can give them, for example, 3,000 and give 3,000 out in charity, or give it to them. And because she'll have 2,000 left, she can utilize the 2,000 for herself, and then she can be entitled to receive zakat. If she at the moment has to pay zakat, she cannot receive zakat.
Let's take the next question. So it says, the sister says, may I wear my normal parda while in ihram? And should I give sadaqah dam thereafter? And how much?
Very easy to calculate that. First of all, you can do what you want to do. You find the price of a goat. And then the rule is, if the face is covered for 24 hours, you have to give one dam. And one dam is one goat price. Or the one dam is one goat. So the goat price, let's say it is what you call 240 riyals. Now, divide 240 riyals by 24 hours. So you'll get 10 rand per hour. Now, if you covered your face for let's say 240 divided by 24, you will get 10, isn't it? I'm correct there. 10 riyals per hour. And if you covered your face for 5 hours, so you'll have to give out 50 riyals. That's how you'll do it.
Okay, and the same question, the same SMS, different question says, when must a niyyah of ihram be made as I am going via Dubai?
Be very cautious. That few cases we had, that people prior to boarding in Dubai, etc., lost their passports or misplaced them or were stolen, and they put on their ihram. Now they are stranded. So what you do, you even can make your 2 rakats of sunnatul ihram. Ihram is not the clothing. That is the adornment of ihram. Ihram. Clothing is the adornment of ihram. And it is not ihram. The 2 pieces of cloth worn by the men, that's the clothing and adornment of ihram. That is not ihram. Ihram is intention plus talbiyah. Ya Allah, I intend making umrah, make it easy for me, accept it from me. Then you read the talbiyah. And as you're doing so, you uncover your head. So now, what she should do all the preliminary actions, Salatul Ihram, etc. When that aircraft takes off, and they are now, alhamdulillah, in the air, and the pilot says you are going to cross the Mikat, then you make your intention. That is the safe way.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. I think that's our last question. Some nasiha from your side.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, that inshallah Ramzan should be starting, and we should be having Taraweeh Salat tomorrow night. And in the month of Ramadan, we have got lengthy Q&A sessions with Radio Islam, first of all, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9:30 p.m. after Taraweeh till 10:30 p.m. So if there is going to be Taraweeh tomorrow night, then tomorrow night we will be on air, 9:30 to 10:30. And on Sundays, after the Zohar Salat, 1:30 to 3 p.m. And that is on Radio Islam. Those who are listening by satellite, and who are in the Durban area, and if Al-Ansar comes on, that's on 103 FM, or 106 FM, something like that. Then there we are on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Q&A, quarter to five till quarter past five. And then in the month of Ramadan, make dua Allah Ta'ala takes work from us also and make the fast easy for us and accept it and all the ibadahs. In Kempton Park, I generally go, there's a Jamaat Khana day, Saturday nights, after Taraweeh, 10-minute talk and 15-minute Q&A. And then also in the month of Ramadan, we go one evening to the nice masjid in Greenside to give a talk. So all that's our schedule for Ramadan. As far as the brothers or anybody who does not agree with our answers, then as Maulana Hamad Kimal has stated, that do not get aggressive on the SMS. My email is muftie, M-U-F-T-I-E, at mweb.co.za, that state your case. If you get rough and you get abusive, obviously I'm not going to respond. If you present your proofs from Quran and Sunnah and Ijma and Qiyas, then inshallah I will look at it. If you have got no concrete proof and definite argumentation, then I will have to ignore it. Also, alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is dawning. We can smell it and feel it. It's coming. We should draw a timetable. In fact, those who are listening, our appeal is, draw a simple timetable of what you're going to do, how much Quran you're going to read, how much zikr you're going to make, how much durood you're going to recite on beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and most important, be regular in salat for the males in jamaat. Be extremely regular. Invite what is good, forbid what is evil. Also, that the brothers who are not making salat, encourage them. And you'll be surprised that there are hundreds, if not thousands, who don't fast. And this is with the sadness of the heart I'm saying this. We are informed that hundreds don't fast just due to laziness, and also they not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should approach them, identify them, talk to them, encourage them, motivate them, create some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, that it is not for us to listen to any radio station 24 hours. Whatever you like to listen, you should listen. And give yourself prime time for Quran, tilawat, and for dua. Dua, we are not making adequately, sufficiently, and enough to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our deeds and to free the Muslims in all parts of the world from the shackles and chains of the enemies of Islam. I highly appreciate all the services rendered by Maulana Hamad and the engineers and the people all around and the listeners who actually make up the programs. So we should make dua for each other that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our activities, forgive our sins, and enter us with the pious and righteous personnel on the day of judgment.
Ameen. Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. And inshallah, make dua for us. Keep remember us in your duas as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you with iman, inshallah. Look after you and your family throughout this entire month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the means of making ibadah as much as possible, inshallah. JazakAllah once again, and we request dua from you as well.
Okay.